Laid on your heart. God bless you.
Well, thank you for that opening. Just the day has just been amazing to see how God's kind of led the day. And that's exciting to see. And you'll see why as we go through our thoughts here tonight, that how they tie in together with the opening and what Ron shared this morning, and just the idea there of trust and how we need to grow in that. Thanks for praying, for those that prayed. I really sense that as I prepared for this. The Lord put, as it were, a fire in my heart, just different things about, he's just been laying on my heart, and just want to share them with you, and just in love, just share my heart with you. Before we go on, let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence. What a privilege you've given us as your children to come before you and just to look to you in dependence. And we ask as we're here that you would give me the words and the calmness, and that your word, Lord, that's what's really important, that your word would speak to our hearts tonight as we have sang together here, that you would just change us and continue to work in our lives, that we'd be brought more into the image of your son. And so we just ask for this here tonight and ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to speak this evening on the King Hezekiah. And probably a lot of you know about King Hezekiah and some things in his life. And what we want to do is look at Hezekiah and some of the choices that he made in his life, and the lessons that we can learn from those choices that he made. So kind of bring it into a practical area in our lives as well. And I'm going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 30, 31, 32, mostly. Hezekiah is recorded also in 2 Kings. He's also recorded in the book of Isaiah and some of the things that he did. Background in Hezekiah. Hezekiah obviously was a king of Judah, and he didn't, how would I say this? His father was a wicked, wicked man. If you read, Ahaz was his father. He was a wicked king. And this is where Hezekiah takes the next step and reigns behind his father. And Hezekiah is a different man. He's a man, and as we're going to see here, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but his heart was to honor the Lord, and he did it with all his heart. And I don't know where the influence came from. It tells us who his mother was. It tells us who his father is a daughter of Zechariah, like who his mother's father was. It tells us a bit of the history, but somewhere in there, Hezekiah had a godly influence. And I was thinking about that on the way in here tonight, and thinking, I just want to encourage our hearts. As you know, maybe you're here as parents, and man, sometimes it's just you wonder. But the impact that you as parents have on your children, or perhaps grandparents on your grandchildren. Whatever it is, you have an impact. And somewhere, somehow, God used someone or some buddies, whatever, to impact Hezekiah. And his heart was a totally different heart than his dad's. And I just wanted to encourage you in that. When Hezekiah reigned, Isaiah was one of the prophets. And so he was a prophet at that time. And in the 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we read that Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. Basically, it's saying he was 25 years old. All right, so that's how old he was. He wasn't an old man, 25. 25, I'm saying you're pretty young, and you're got lots of steam behind you. And one thing, I'm going to stop right there too. Just, you know, sometimes we think, you know, once I hit 30 or 35, then I'm going to really, really buckle down and serve the Lord. I want to encourage you. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? You're born again. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Get at it. He wants to use you. You don't have to wait till you're 30. You might not get to 30. He wants to use you now. And you just be open to what he has for you. He'll use you. And so I want to just encourage you, no matter what your age is, if you know Christ as Savior, he wants to use you now. And Hezekiah was 25. He wasn't old, but God used him in a special way. It says there about how he was 25 years old, and he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. It says in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And in the first year of his reign, so right off the hop, in the first month, right off the bat, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And so Hezekiah's desire here was when he became king and started to reign, Judah was in a mess. His father was wicked. The king of Assyria had basically, the Lord had allowed the king of Assyria to put judgment on Judah, and he laid the place low. Like it was just in shackles almost. And Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, would worship this one. He'd burn his kids in the fire. He would do this and that. And it was just awful what he did. But on the first year, at the first month, Hezekiah, purpose in his heart, he said, we're going to open the house of the Lord. And open those doors and repair them. And so he brought the priests in, and he cleansed the house of the Lord, and he pointed the people back to God. This kind of section I'm going through here, we're going to look at Hezekiah's desire. That was his desire. That was where his heart was at. It was his desire. He opened those doors. He directed the people to worship of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 12 to 15, we see how he cleansed evil influence out of the land. There was altars and things of detestable that were there, and he cleaned it up. And not only that, we read back in 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 4, that the brass serpent that was the thing that the Israelites looked to for healing when they were bit by the fiery serpent, they were worshiping that, and it was a form of idolatry. So Hezekiah destroyed it. And he says, it's just a thing. And he destroyed it. And so they wouldn't worship that. That he wanted to focus them to the Lord and to worshiping of the Lord. And it says in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20 and 21, we're going to read that there. Another thing they did, I'm just mentioning here, they celebrated the Passover. So he started to bring them back into celebrating the Passover. It was just a time of revival, a time of pointing them back to the Lord. And Just the joy of doing that. And in verse 20 of chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles, it says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. There you see his heart. The Lord gives us a picture of his heart. He did it with all his heart. He wasn't in this just like, yeah, I guess I'm king, I'll do it. It was his conviction. It was real to him. And he did it with all his heart. And the Lord used him in a special way to direct the people back to himself. That was Hezekiah's desire. We're going to find out in verse 1 of chapter 32 that Hezekiah also had a dilemma. And often when we serve the Lord and we want to live for him, and that's our heart's desire, things do not always go perfect. They won't go perfect, actually. The scripture tells us that. It says, if you live godly for Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And the scripture tells us of that. And there's going to be trials come. To be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to go through trials. We have to go through hardships. It's what we face. But the Lord uses those things to change us and to mold us into the image of his Son. And it says, after these things, it was, if you look back in 2 Kings, it was about 14 years, and Hezekiah had, I believe, had kind of turned his back on the king of Assyria, who was holding him in shackles, and said, you know what, I'm not dealing with you anymore. And so after 14 years of doing this and directing the people to the Lord and having those mountaintop experiences, he comes into a valley. And it says, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And if we read back in Kings, he actually took some of the towns, outlying towns. He started to conquer them. And it says in verse 2, when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that his purpose was to fight against Jerusalem, he was going to take them out. And Sennacherib was a real threat. If you read in the scriptures, and when we read later on here, if we get a chance, he flattened everything that he came to. He just leveled it and took it. Nothing stood in his way. And so he was a real threat. And here, Hezekiah, after serving faithfully, was coming into a dilemma. Now, he could have responded in a number of ways. He could have asked why. He could have been angry at God, said, Lord, look what I've done here. Look how you've used me. Like, why this? But God had a plan and purpose. And sometimes, you know, we're going through crisis in our country right now. They're big crisis. And something, why is this? I really believe God has a purpose in it. He's allowed it for a purpose. And part of that purpose, I believe, is to shake us up and to realize, you know what, I'm speaking for myself here, focused too much on temporal things that really don't matter. they're important. They seem to be important to us, and yeah, we have to deal with them. But they're not the big things. They're not the big picture. And so I've kind of titled this message "Proper Focus." That we get our eyes back on the Lord, and that's where I've kind of gone with this thing. And it's just, you know, I think the Lord brings trials in our lives, brings these crises in our lives to realize, Lord, we got to depend on you. We're helpless without you. And to trust you and to look to you and to be in his word and to really be real in our Christian walk. And here this threat was Sennacherib. And he'd already, as I said, taken some of the towns. Sennacherib is a picture of the evil one. And, you know, he has come for to destroy and to disrupt and to cause division. That's the purpose of our enemy of our souls. And I just want to read a verse or two here about that. Oh, Sennacherib is a picture of that. Just how he was a man that you couldn't reason with. He had no respect for the Lord. He just did what he wanted to do. And he wanted to just disrupt everything. And in John chapter 10, Jesus is talking here. And he refers to the thief. He's referring to the thief and the thief's purpose. It says in John 10:10, or let's go back to verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Doesn't that describe the devil and his purposes? That's what he's come for. He's come to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. A more abundant life. That's why Jesus came. And we can read in Ephesians 6. I have Ephesians 6 down there too. It talks there how our warfare isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And First Peter 5 talks about how the devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We have an enemy that is against us. And we can be discouraged with that. And it's real. But we can also realize, you know, we have a great God. And that's what Hezekiah looked to. He had a dilemma, but he didn't deal with it in his own strength. He looked to the Lord. And I really do believe that sometimes evil circumstances and threats can bring committed believers to new stages of spiritual growth. When we start to wake up and realize, wow, we have missed the focus here. Lord, you have a purpose for us here. We're here now, and you have something for us. And we wake up to what he has for us. I really believe the Lord uses that. Something that really caught my eye when I was reading through the scripture, it says, and when Hezekiah saw what was happening, when it came to his, all of a sudden, boom, the light bulb went on. This Sennacherib's not slowing down. He's coming, and he's going to take us. He's going to wipe us out. He saw it. And Hezekiah did a number of things. He didn't give up. That's one thing he didn't do. He didn't panic. He didn't start to fight among everyone and said, well, look what's happened here, and, you know, it's your fault, whatever. He didn't do that. He became greater dependent on the Lord. And it says in verse 3 and 4, it says that he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they helped him. And in verse 4, it says, so they were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and broke, and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Here, this enemy has come against him, and we have the enemy of our souls against us as well. And he took counsel. And, you know, obviously, these threats and these trials, they unified them. And he made a plan and took action. And he realized how serious it was. And the first thing he did is cut off the water from the enemy. So there's a water, a river running through. I didn't know how it looked. I've never been to Israel, but obviously the scripture tells us there's a river running through there. And he said, you know what? Why should I let that river run through there and let the enemy have just water just like that? I'm going to cut that thing off. Direct it another way. Not going to let the enemy have that water. And Romans talks about this in our lives. So often I can, and maybe you can put your name in there too, but we can feed the flesh. We can feed, as it were, those desires within us that are wrong and evil. And Romans chapter 13 talks about this. It says there in verse, I'm going to start reading from verse 12. It says, the night's far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly and as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. It says here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what the Lord and instructs us and encourages us. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't feed it. And I think it's a real good picture here. How Hezekiah just said, well, I'm not going to feed the enemy. I'm going to cut it off. And so he had an opportunity there. He did it. The second thing there he did, if we look back into chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, it says there in verse 5, he also strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. So he had holes in the walls there and he repaired them. He worked with his military and he dealt with that and equipped the army. He did what he could. He prepared himself. And I think that's an important thing in our lives, that we are prepared. As we face crisis, we face things that we prepare ourselves. And look at our lives. You know, is there holes in the walls of my life where I'm letting an enemy come in? Am I in God's word? Am I really in it? Am I really seriously looking there? And I'm speaking to myself here. You know, am I really, Lord, show me what you have. Show me how you want to deal in my life. Show me how you want to change me. Is that my heart attitude? In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of God. And I'm going to just read that here. In Ephesians 6, it says here, I'm going to go back to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And there we have the armor of God. And part of that is the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the feet that are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, the truth that's girded around our waist and the breastplate of righteousness. Those are the things we need to equip ourselves with as we face the enemy. And we don't face them on our own. It's the Lord that helps us in that, but we need to be prepared and aware of that. The third thing we see is he saw the enemy was coming. Not only did he cut off the water, not only did he prepare himself both physically and mentally and spiritually, not only did he equip the army and repair the walls, but there's something here that I think it's really important. I want to focus on it for a second. He was focused. And not only was Hezekiah focused, everyone was focused. Everyone had the same focus. And it wasn't about dealing with each other and fighting with each other. It wasn't about, snack grab, whatever. They were focused. And it says, it says here, if we look at it, in the end of verse 3, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains. They were one mind. They saw what they needed to do, and they were focused. And they didn't look on the temporal things so much as what they needed to do because an enemy was coming. And I really want to encourage us in this tonight here is we need this more than ever. I really believe that. We need it more than ever. We need one another. Obviously, we need the Lord, first of all. I'm not putting that down or belittling that. We need the Lord. But as we face trials, as we face crisis, we need one another. And we need one another more than ever. Because they're going to come. And they're going to come whether we like it or not. Trials are going to come. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that perilous times are going to come. And we're going to need one another to lean on. And just to find strength in together. We need to build godly relationships in humility and love. It has to be really important. And I was amazed how we started our day with that, the unity, the thought of unity, right? It's so important. Then Jake read tonight from Hebrews 10. And I want to read there again. because it's just been speaking to my heart here. One thing I've noticed, and I don't like to speak about COVID really, I try to avoid that a bit, but because you just talk about it too much. But one thing it has done, and it's a reality, it's among us, it's caused camps. It's caused camps. And it's caused division in churches, it's caused divisions in families, it's caused divisions because you form camps. You here, there, whatever. And we need to have convictions. We do. But we need to have a genuine love and care for each other. We really do. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. But in Hebrews 10, I'm going to focus in on verse 24 and 25. I'd like to go back a little further, but I'm going to focus in on those verses. It says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. That's where it's coming from in these verses. Consider one another and provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more. See how he's building here. So much more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? What day is approaching? I think he's telling, the Lord's coming back. Perilous times are coming. And I think if we look at our landscape, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. He could come back today. But it's changing. It's coming. And that gives me a lot of hope, a lot of joy. But it's coming. And he says, no, this has to happen all, so much the more as you see that day approaching. You see it coming. It needs to be a priority in your life, in my life. And we need to, as it were, have a proper focus as we look at our brothers and sisters. Not everyone thinks like I do. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing, actually. But not everyone thinks like you do either. But one thing I have been really thinking about and pondering on, and I just want to read those verses to you. They're found in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I thought Ron was going to steal my thunder this morning, but he went a little further in Romans chapter 15. But it says there in Romans 15, verse 1, it says, when they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good and to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose, that we with one mind and one mouth would glorify God. That is a powerful testimony when believers get along. That is a powerful testimony. And the thought that's been coming to my heart and to my mind is, am I willing to give up my rights, so to speak, or my convictions for my brother and sister, that I don't make them stumble? And we can go to a lot of examples and a lot of things. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to let you do that. But am I willing to set aside what I think is right and say, you know what? I have a brother and sister here where I could set that aside, and it might not be wrong, but I love my brother and sister so much. I know it's a problem for them, so I'm going to do that because I love them. Am I willing to do that? That was what the Lord speaking to my heart about. Am I willing to set aside my rights for my brother and sister so that we would be together in unity and love? That's what he's talking about here in Romans 15. It's not about what I my convictions are, my rights are. It's about loving my brother and sister and caring for them deeply. And if there's one thing I wanted to say here tonight, we need this. And we have had a lot of a unity here, I believe. We have. It's been good. But we have an enemy, and he can cause a lot of grief if we allow it. So I just want to encourage you in that. Am I willing to give up my rights to minister? Am I willing to go the extra mile for a brother and sister? I'm just going to have a couple quotes here I want to just share with you. Any people that wants to stand strong, to stand against tough times, to stand above the common, will need to agree to band together in unity of purpose and action. Genuineness of faith often emerges when one's in one's reaction to trouble. And so we face trials and troubles, as Hezekiah did. That's where genuine faith will respond. Another example that I read about was really kind of encouraging, too, is the redwood tree in California. And I'm sure some of you here have seen redwood trees. They're monstrous trees. I've never seen one. They're big. They can be up 300 feet tall. Like huge trees. From what I read is that they really don't have a deep root system. So you think, well, how do these trees stand when the storms come their way? But the unique thing about the redwood trees, they very, very, very seldom grow on their own. They're in a forest. They're together. And in that forest, their roots, even though they're not deep, they intertwine with each other. And so when those winds come, I think it's a real good example of fellowship, is that the roots are intertwined together so that they hold each other. They're like one big mass there, and the wind can't blast them over because they're all together, holding together. So instead of just being one on their own, they wouldn't be able to stand, but together they stand and withstand those storms. And it's important, brothers and sisters. So I just want to encourage us in that. Make it a priority. And watch our conversations, they're encouraging. They're building each other up. They're pointing us to the Savior. I talk to myself about that too. How often do I grumble and gripe and talk about this, that, and the other? But really, I should be there seeing how you're doing. And how's your Bible reading going? Like, you know, I was struggling this week or whatever, right? You know, so that's just a challenge. We can take it. Second Chronicles again. This is really cool where it goes here. Like Hezekiah, he saw the enemy coming. He saw the danger in it. He repaired those walls. You know, maybe we have stuff in our lives that are we need to deal with. Maybe there's unforgiveness that we have, whatever, relationships, whatever. But the Lord used it, and Hezekiah dealt with it, these walls that were broken down. And he wants to deal with that in our lives too. And in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles, really encouraging to see where Hezekiah goes. You know, he did what he could. He repaired those walls. He fortified the army, cut off the water. But then he says in verse 7, let's go back to verse 6. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably unto them, saying, these words are amazing. As we read them, I'm just going to read them here, but I'm going to just think about this. He didn't tell them, you know what? Listen here, guys. We got the walls all built up. We got the army fortified. The water's cut off. We're in good shape, guys. That wasn't what he said at all. Look at what he says. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that's with him, for there is more with us than with him. And as we face crisis in our country, in our land, in our province, it's easy to be afraid. But I think we should take these verses here and put them to our hearts. He says, be strong. Be courageous. You know, we look at what's coming possibly and think, are we going to be able to raise our families, our grandchildren, the way we want to raise them? Is that going to happen? Like, it's fearful when we see laws that are coming. And it's going to affect every last one of us, every last one of us, no matter what stage of life we're in. But he pointed them to God. He said, you be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed of the king of Assyria. Even though there's a multitude out there that you can't count. He says, with him is the arm of flesh. That's all that's with him. It's the arm of flesh. I don't know how God's going to deal here. I don't know how he's going to work. But with the king of Assyria, all there is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us. To fight our battles. And that's where he directed them. He says, you know what? Our dependence isn't on how good we fix those walls or how we cut the water off or how we fortified our army. Our dependence is on God and God alone. And that's where he's the one that's going to win our battles. I don't know how he's going to answer. He didn't know at this time how he was going to answer. You know, he answered in a pretty amazing way. But he didn't know. But he said, I'm going to trust God. And that brings out the way Ron shared this morning. You know, just trusting God. I'm going to trust you, Lord, in these battles that are ahead of us. Because I know that you are God and God alone. And the king of Assyria, all that's with him is the arm of flesh. Now, that was pretty big. Like, when you physically look at it, it's like, we're done. We're going to get flattened here. There was no chance of them doing anything, of getting through this. And it says, the people rested themselves in the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. The people rested themselves, and they were comforted. They were strengthened by it. They said, you know what? I'm with you. I hear you. I'm on the same page. And everybody was together. There was unity there. You see how there is strength in that? They were one page. And that's so important. And you'll see that. I'm not going to read through it because of time, but Sennacherib sent a messenger there, and he blasphemed God, and he railed on Hezekiah. And he did his research, too, and said, you know, Hezekiah's cleaned this place up and all that sort of stuff. Do you think he's going to be able to stand? You know, you guys got to surrender, or you're going to be flattened. And he put it to him, this messenger that came from Sennacherib. He really threatened him and blasphemed God. And it was not good. And yet the people said not a word, because Hezekiah told them not to. Don't talk to him. Don't say a word. And everybody was quiet. And when Hezekiah heard what the messenger had said, it says here in verse 20, it says, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. That's where they went. They prayed. And it's something that has spoken to my heart more than ever the last little while is the importance of prayer. We know it's important, but the importance of prayer is so important. It's like, Lord, we are dependent on you. We can't do it. It's out of our control. And that's a good thing when we come to that place to realize that we are dependent on God. And that's where Hezekiah and Isaiah were, and the people. So we're dependent on you. We can't. It's out of our control. And so many things, really, when you think about it, are out of our control. And we know the importance of prayer. But how important is it to us? How much did you pray this week? What did you pray about? I don't know. I don't need to know. I'm just asking that question. Well, I think that really kind of shows where we're at. We start to ask those questions to ourselves. You know, am I really praying when I do things? Am I really asking the Lord? And even as we go through life and deal with things, am I asking the Lord for help in that and wisdom in that? Or am I just, I'm the kind of a guy that just does it. He just well, it's broken, fix it. And it's all right. That's what you do. But just to be in prayer and asking the Lord for his guidance and help. I need to grow in this. And prayer is key. It's the key. I mean, we have responsibilities. We need to do them. I'm not belittling that. But prayer is the key. And this is where Hezekiah went from his desire. He went to a dilemma. And now we're going to see a deliverance here that is amazing. God is working far beyond what I can see to accomplish his eternal purposes. I'm going to read that again or say that again. God is working far beyond what I can see to accomplish his eternal purposes. I really believe that. You know, we've been praying the last couple Saturdays for our country, for our leaders, for God's word to go out for the souls of men, that they would come to Christ. I really believe his plans are way bigger than what I can see. How is God going to answer all our prayers? I don't know. Are we going to have more freedom? Is there going to be revival in here? It might be. And if that happens, we should praise God. There could be a change in this country, but there might not be. And we have to be prepared for that, because God has a plan. That's one thing we can be sure of. God has a plan and a purpose, and he will fulfill it. And if we can trust him, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what comes. And we need one another for that, to encourage each other in that. Let's read the prayer that Hezekiah prays. 2 Kings chapter 19, and then we're going to close with that. 2 Kings chapter 19. We see Hezekiah just lay this out before the Lord. And it says here in verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. I'm actually going to back up to verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art Lord God, even thou only. That was his purpose in his prayer. Lord, that they would know, the kingdoms of the earth would know that you are God and you alone. And he prayed and laid it before the Lord. And I believe that's our biggest, we read in the armor of God, it's our biggest avenue that we have. It's to rely on God. That's all we can do. But it's the biggest thing that we have to do. And just pray. And so the thought I want to get across is just a proper focus as we go through life, that our focus would be, Lord, what's your purposes? What's your plans? And help me to keep my eyes off the temporal things, the things that really don't count in the long run. Help me to look to what your purposes are for the souls of men, that they would come to Christ, to change our lives, to become more like Christ, and for your eternal purposes and plans for your plan, Lord. Help me to keep that in my mind, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you alone. The scripture warns us of perilous times. The scripture asks us to pray as well, that we would pray that we could live godly and quiet and peaceable lives in all honesty. That's a good thing. We should pray for that. We should. We should pray as we face cares and anxieties. Pray. And I want to encourage us in that. God is working far beyond what I can see to accomplish his eternal purposes. And may we today be encouraged. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. For with Sennacherib or whoever is the armor of flesh, but we have the living God that we can rely on and look to. Let's not be afraid. The Lord answered in an amazing way. In verse 35 it says, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of Assyria 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." That was something. The Lord answered in an amazing way. And I believe the Lord is going to answer us in an amazing way. It might not be how we think, but he will do it, because he's God and God alone. So let's be encouraged. Let's be in prayer for each other. Let's be in prayer for those who are on the front battle lines witnessing. Let's be in prayer for us as we witness where we are. That's one thing that this is also poked me at a little bit too, is just to get out of my comfort zone and just to share. And so may we do that here where we are too, just to share as God gives us help and direction. So I want to leave that with you. Be encouraged, look to the Lord, and pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your word, and just pray that you would use your word to encourage us tonight, Lord. And just take your word. That's what we want, Lord. We want your word to encourage us. And so we pray for that here, and that we would just, as a fellowship, just grow in our love for you and for one another, that you would change us, Lord, to be more like your Son. Lord, help us to have your purposes, have a proper focus, and we just would ask you for that tonight. Thank you for this opportunity you've had to look into your word. Lord, we pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.